We're going to continue down the line. Number 22, the GPA Habitat and Public Use Assessment. Ryan Wendinger is going to be joining us there. Ryan, whenever you are ready, go ahead and begin.
Let's see if I could get sharing enabled here. Nick or Liz? All right, good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Ryan Wendinger, Habitat Program Administrator. Today I'll be talking here about the GPA, or Game Production Area Habitat and Public Use Assessment. Slide to advance here. Yeah, so kind of a background here. We went through this GPA assessment back in 2017, 2018. And in our Habitat and Access Plan that we developed back in 2021, we identified in there that we would redo this assessment coming up here in 2023. The objective of it was to evaluate and identify opportunities to improve our wildlife habitat and public use on our game production areas across the state. Process was an internal evaluation and ranking habitat quality and public use opportunities on a scale of 1 to 10. This internal evaluation process was comprehensive. It was regionally staff-led by our local habitat managers, but it involved a broad range of staff within the regions, everybody from conservation officers to wildlife staff and a broad range of individuals who may have suggestions or ideas, comments, things to share with that assessment. It was really to look at where are we now and where we want to be short-term, long-term, things of that nature, looking at things that are required type projects, operation and maintenance projects that we need to do, and then development projects. How do we put new development habitat and access opportunities out there? So here's kind of a broad range of different categories that we looked at, similar to the same categories we looked at back in 2018, but the first top section there is kind of those required projects that we need to do, noxious weed control, you know, something that's required by state law. You know, getting people access to our GPAs, signage and boundary control, things of that nature are required. The next section there is a broad range of operation and maintenance categories that we looked at. And then the last section there is really the development, the new things that we want to install on these game production areas. For the 2023 ranking here, we went through 723 different game production areas and water access areas, looked at over 285,000 acres of state property, ranked it on a scale of 1 to 10. And it's important to note here that these areas were ranked on their condition at the end of 2022. It did not include any of the projects completed here in 2023. I was simply looking at the end of 22, what did things look like, how were the areas sitting for the various categories. And so you can see there the average on habitat was 6.4 and public use opportunities was 6.8. And we have properties at the high end and low end of the scale. So a ranking change here from our assessment back in 2018 to the one we just completed here. We did have increases in both habitat and public use. You can see there 0.2 of a point on habitat and 0.4 of a point on public use. You may initially look at these and say, well, that's not the greatest increase. And I guess I would respond with the numbers are respectable. I mean, start looking at things as far as management. 5 years in the world of habitat management is a pretty short period of time when you're talking about tree development, things of that nature, grass plantings being developed. And so these habitat plantings will continue to develop and improve over time here. These trees take some time to grow. And as that happens, these rankings should continue to increase as that habitat fully matures and develops out there. The rankings, like I said, didn't include any of the work here done in 2023. So there's a lot of things that happened in 23 that didn't get included here in the rankings. And they only capture about 2 years of the habitat stamp dollars. So previous to that, you know, staff were working with a pretty steady budget through PR dollars. Those habitat stamp dollars the last 2 years have added a lot of opportunity to put new habitat on the ground that still needs some time to develop. A larger increase, as you can see, the 0.4 of a point there on the access for public use. That's more of a direct thing. You put in a boat ramp, you put in a new road, a new trail, things like that are direct impacts that are, you know, open and operational immediately. So did see a larger increase there. So looking at accomplishments, what did we accomplish from 2018 to 2022? Pretty big long list here. I pulled some of the main things, I guess, that we've accomplished. It's not inclusive of everything, but a lot of really great things have happened the last 5 years. New native grass restorations, almost 6,000 acres of new plantings took place. And that there's a lot of long process that takes place of prepping the site, seeding it, and doing the follow-up maintenance to get those plantings established. New woody cover plantings, tree plantings, things of that nature, over 300 acres. Planted over 20,000 acres of food plots. Did some prescribed burning and some woody species management. Grazing infrastructure, things of that nature to manage our grasslands that we have out there. Over 60,000 acres of noxious weed control. We really want to be good neighbors and control our noxious weeds, and that's something that we put a lot of effort into every year. Big accomplishment there. And those acres there were not broad application. We're doing a lot of spot spraying, trying to be cost effective out there and not just apply herbicide everywhere, but strategically place that herbicide where it's needed. So a lot of time and effort goes into that. New boat ramps, 14 new boat ramps in the last 5 years, and those are really focused on those waterfall access type situations, a primitive ramp that would offer somebody to launch a duck boat. 74 new parking areas, just providing places for people to get off the main township roads and have a place to park and get their dogs out, things of that nature to go pheasant hunting, things like that. So. Staff utilized various funding sources to complete all these projects. They used their PR dollars, Habitat stamp the last few years, and Hunt for Habitat dollars as well. Habitat and Access, you know, you've heard Secretary Robles say that for the last several years, and it has been a top priority. We've accomplished a lot of really good things here. It continues to be a priority, and we're continuing to move forward here with a lot of great projects on many of our game production areas. Again, significant accomplishments to improve and enhance our habitat and public use facilities out there on our GPAs. So with those accomplishments, there's obviously a few challenges that we endured. Staff, you know, worked through a lot of different weather changes over the last few years. It's no surprise to any of us, everything from flooding in certain situations to drought in other areas. When you're trying to establish grass and trees, that drought condition can be have a big impact on the project success, and that creates a challenge. Invasive plants, noxious weeds, you know, trying to establish a new grass planting and having noxious weeds take over, things like that staff are up against. Fluctuating water levels around wetlands, things like that, trying to provide new trails into some GPAs and maybe be impacted by some higher water at times. And then changes in staff was a big one in some of our regions. Just a lot of turnover between retirements, maybe of individuals, a lot of staff moving up in the department within their role and taking on new challenges themselves, and then trying to be a good mentor to those individuals coming in and take over those local level decisions and on the ground projects takes some time to transition with staff. So. But we also had a lot of really good successes. Staff in our state and the habitat world are really good at adapting to challenges. They're good at adapting to the different weather that we have. They're smart about the projects they're doing and know when to plant, when not to plant, and how to go about maybe a planting that's failing for whatever reason. Habitat improvement and access opportunities. Just a lot of great quality habitat, a lot more convenient access has been put on the ground. That's a success in itself. Increase in the annual accomplishments. I think this one maybe strikes home with the habitat stamp dollars that we recently received. So we looked at the last 5 years. In the last 2 years, we've seen an increase in native grass planting by 70% when you compared it to the 3 years prior to that. Same thing with tree planting, an increase of 163%, 10% increase in food plot planting, woody species management increased by 200%, and just kind of define that a little bit, that's looking at thinning of maybe forests to promote species desirable, and also looking at controlling some woody species that may be taking over critical nesting grassland habitat. A public use facility maintenance increased by 40% there. That was, you know, just driven by those additional parking lots, boat ramps, things like that, that take that annual maintenance to go back and maybe do some sign work on, maybe do some mowing or some touch-ups, things like that, that are required for those projects to continue to be of good quality. And then contractual services and partnerships were really important as we increase the amount of work that we're doing. So partnerships, yeah, we want to increase the rate at which habitat and access improvements are happening on these game production areas. With that requires assistance from outside the department. We haven't added any FTEs, things of that nature to ramp up the amount of work we're doing. So we're really relying upon outside entities and partnerships with those to make those things happen. Staff building new relationships with contractors and different people, and then expanding some of those existing ones that we already have. Again, using various funding sources here to work through contractual services, make those projects happen. Conservation districts were a big part of a lot of the work that we've done in the last 5 years and will continue to be an important part of the things we do. Private contractors, neighboring landowners, and game production area tenants. Just we've always had those in a lot of areas, and we continue to utilize neighboring landowners that maybe can come in and crop some of our you know, previously broken sod that is you know, smooth broom, Kentucky bluegrass, things of that nature. Farm for a few years and get it prepped and ready to be seeded down to a new native grass planting, helping with some of those conversions. Also helping plant food plots, things like that. And also working with our NGOs, Pheasants Forever Habitat specialist teams that we have stationed across the state, just good partnerships with those groups that help us do a lot of work on our GPAs. And we'll continue to utilize outside agencies and partners where appropriate and where cost effective to continue to ramp up the work that we're doing out there. I want to share a few examples. I asked staff to put together a few maps of, you know, a ranking, what they want to do to the property to get it a little bit higher or increase what's out there, bring that ranking up a little bit higher. So I have a few examples here to show you. This GPA here, Pleasant 8 GPA in Sully County, 160 acres in size, was ranked a 2 out of 10 back in 2018. This recent ranking here was a 6 out of 10. It was a previously Bureau of Reclamation property that was transferred to Game Fish and Parks back in 2006. As a carryover, when that happened, that parcel had been row crop leased prior to that, and that continued once GFP took ownership up until 2021. During 2022, staff seeded it down to a DNC and high diversity grass and forb mix, so that planting is starting to establish, and so that's why the ranking went up to a 6. But staff have other things they want to do out there to really bring that to a 9 or a 10, and that would be adding some tree plantings and adding some food plots. This game production here, located up in Potter County, this one's about 400 acres in size, ranked a 6 out of 10 in 2023. Previous management on this one was simply doing some haying of about 30 to 40 acres on a small rotation every year, trying to manage some of the grass that was there. With habitat stamp, they added a water source on the northwest side there, added in some fencing around the boundary and then some temporary interior fence to divide the unit into some grazing units to do some better management, I guess, with grass instead of just hay. They grazed the north portion of that GPA that hadn't had any recent management at all due to terrain, things of that nature. Grazing was allowed to be utilized to try to rejuvenate some of that grass that is there. And then they were able to seed a little bit of grass there on the east side, about 8 acres worth. And the plan going forward is to really bring that ranking up to a 9 or a 10. I've pointed out a few things there with the yellow arrows, but add more water pipe and another water source to, again, aid to that grazing rotation that they're trying to do on an annual basis, maybe graze a unit every year and keep that habitat in good condition. Add additional interior electric fence where needed. Plant some trees and shrubs there in the central part of the unit along some riparian areas. Convert a lot of the cool season invasive grasses to some high diversity plantings. Install a new parking lot and then kind of incorporate prescribed fire when necessary, along with the grazing to keep that habitat in tip-top shape. A last example here is the ideal wetland game production area. This one's down in Tripp County, 215 acres, ranked a 7 out of 10 here in 2023. Again, some rotation of haying is all that's been done on this area in the past. And to get it to a 10, staff want to put in a new parking lot in the northwest corner, plant three different shelter belts totaling 6 acres in size of trees, seed 80 acres of native grasses and forbs down on the large majority of it. That's primarily cool season invasives right now. Install some fencing and then implement a grazing and prescribed fire plan in the future to keep that habitat in great shape. So just a few examples there of what staff looked at and identified different projects to really increase these areas' habitat and access opportunities. Lastly, I just want to thank all the habitat staff. We have a really good, dedicated group. They're passionate, they're committed to habitat on our game production areas. They're just fantastic, the amount of work that they do and accomplish, and the different challenges that they overcome, the curveballs that Mother Nature always throws at them. They accomplish a lot of great things out there. With the habitat stamp dollars, they've took on a large workload of contractual services. You know, they're doing all their main duties that they've done before, but they're also managing a lot of these contracts and working with partners to make additional projects happen on top of what their normal job duties were. And they really recognize the improvement opportunities, you know, to better meet the needs of our wildlife and our users. They still recognize there's lots of work to do out there, and their excitement is very strong. They want to continue to move forward, do a lot of great things on our GPAs out there, which is exciting and great to see. And I also want to thank the partners, the conservation districts, all the contractors, neighboring GPA tenants. Without them, a lot of these additional projects just wouldn't be possible. And so I know some of the things maybe we're doing on game production areas are maybe a little outside the realm of what they maybe would typically do on the private side of things. And so they've all been really great to work with and accustomed to what we need done. And so I really want to thank them for all their work they've done. And lastly, I think just with the fall season here underway, pheasant season open for youth and other individuals here coming up in the near future, next few weeks, just a lot of great habitat out there, a lot of good opportunities to get out and hunt, and a lot of this, you know, work that's been done on GPAs can be put to use by our users out there. Just pretty excited to see all that take place here this fall. With that, I'd stand by for any questions.
Very good. Any questions for Ryan? Ryan, the rankings that you shared, is that online where folks can go in and see maybe how a GPA did in their own area?
Madam Chair, no, we haven't. It's 700 and some odd GPAs. I mean, we could probably compile a list to put something together, but it's a pretty complex list that we haven't published, I guess, online. We do have the online comment recorder that's available to the public. If they see something on a game production area that they maybe have a question about or would like to see some type of development, whether it's a new tree planting or a food plot, there's an opportunity for a lot of local staff to go on there and suggest comments, ask maybe, why are you guys grazing here? What are we doing here? And we follow up with all those and make sure that they get their questions answered.
All right, thank you. Questions? Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Yeah, thank you, Ryan. Kind of going back to your list of accomplishments, which, you know, kudos on all of it. It's glad to see so much activity and heading in the right direction. One of the topics was, I think it was 74 new parking areas. I was kind of curious, you know, fully behind that. We've got not only the peak of our hunting season coming up, but also harvest. So we've got, you know, pretty good size equipment going down the same small roads that are utilized by our hunting friends. And anyway, on the 74 parking areas, you know, just trying to get those vehicles off the road, are we able to do that on anything other than our own GPA type stuff, or is there some opportunity like on a CREP program to you know, take a quarter acre or something like that and designate it as a parking area for those spots?
Sure, through the chair.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have worked with like things like walk-in areas, for example. We have worked with some local, for example, Pheasants Forever chapters to maybe help cover the cost of an approach and a culvert on a township road, I know, on particular areas. We have done some of that work. When it comes to corrupts and things of that nature, it depends on the CRP contract, if there's room there to be able to mull out annually a spot. At a minimum, it's nice to work on at least getting an approach in, so at least to get a single vehicle off the road. But that's things also that are considered when we're rolling things like walk-in areas, is what's the parking availability? Is there a place for people to get off that main road? Because we understand, yeah, farm equipment getting down the road in the fall is critical, and we want to make sure that we're not impacting that. But we have, in certain cases where we can, we have worked with private individuals to make that happen and try to loop in some of our partners as well.
Very good. Any additional questions? Commissioner Spring.
I was wondering if you had an estimate on what it costs to plant these native grasses and forbs and that, what your costs are per acre to replant all that, which is a great deal. I just wonder what that cost was.
Through the chair?
Yes, please.
Commissioner Spring, yeah, so it can really vary depending upon the grass mix, but I would provide an estimate of probably $20 an acre to do the seeding. That's roughly $20 to $25 an acre to do the actual planting. That's typically what the conservation districts are charging, and probably cost our staff somewhere right around there as well. As far as the mix itself, a lot of our plantings are probably around $100 to $150 an acre. They could be a lot cheaper, you know, down around $80, $75. Just depends on what species are being planted. You start planting some of these smaller, you know, super high diversity pollinator type plantings, and it can range, you know, quite a bit higher, up to $300 an acre for the seed mix. But we don't, I mean, we adjust as needed and do what we feel is the most cost effective. And in some areas where we know we have high weed pressure, we're more apt to plant a less diverse mix, knowing that we're going to have to do some chemical application to control some of those annual weeds.
Very good. Any other questions? Good presentation, Ryan. Thank you very much, and thanks to everybody who's worked on this. Job well done.
You bet. Thank you.
It is 10:36. We've got, 9:36 Mountain. We've got two more items on the agenda. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back and wrap